diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I want to preach on this thought today, the elephant in the living room. Lord, I pray that you would help each of us tonight to look inside of our heart. While we examine our mind and our life, Father, help us to be honest about this topic. We love you. In Jesus' name, I pray. And God's people said, amen. You know, it's amazing. There's that thing in our life that everybody knows and everybody sees, but they don't want to talk about it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Everybody knows about it. We call it the elephant in the... Talk to me. It's the elephant where? It's that thing that everybody knows about. They don't want to deal with. It's the thing that destroys more good Christians than anything else. I mean, there's good Christians. They're not going to fall to immorality. They're not going to fall to drugs. And they're not going to fall to rebellion. They're not going to fall to worldliness. But ladies and gentlemen, I've seen more good Christians fall to bitterness than anything else. It's a sin that begins in the heart and becomes manifest. He warns us there in the book of Hebrews. Watch out. Beware. It's something you can't see on the outside when it starts, because it's something that comes from the heart. Beware. Watch out for the elephant no one wants to talk about, that thing that has made us bitter. Now, ladies and gentlemen, life is full of hurts. A mature person has learned how to deal with two things: problems and pressure. Try it one more time with me. They've learned how to deal with two things: problems and pressure. You say pressure does bust pipe. I understand. But ladies and gentlemen, as we grow, we should learn how to fix problems and not sweep them under the carpet. And we should learn how to deal with pressure through God. But the reality is, many people get hurt, and the response to a hurt creates bitterness. It's a very, very serious thing. Now, Satan doesn't care if your hurt is real or your hurt is imaginary. All he wants you to do is to get bitter. Because a bitter Christian becomes a defiled Christian. Let me tell you how serious it is. Christians I've gone to school with, I'm talking about pastors, I'm talking about missionaries, I'm talking about people I know specifically, have literally destroyed their life to every single level. I've sat across the table from pastors, and they've made statements such as this. They've said, if I could kill my wife and get away with it, I would. I've seen people attack their pastor with fistcuffs. I've seen people take machetes and go to the pastor's house because they got bitter. I've known people that took guns and killed their spouse because they got bitter. I've seen young ladies get bitter and it destroy their marriage, and they go to a next marriage and it destroys that marriage, and they go to the next relationship and it destroys that relationship, and then by the time they reach the pastor, they say, it's like I can't find the right man. No, you're not the right person. You'll find when a person gets hurt, we want God to change everything around us, but God is trying to change what's inside of us. And something will happen. It could be your mother or your father. They did something you didn't like, and you respond and get bitter. It could be a relationship. It could be a boss at work. It could be a pastor. But you know where it happens? Usually it's an authority over us. Let me make this statement. All bitterness is bitterness against God. Now, according to recent research, 10 out of 10 people will die. Where I live, it's 40% Indian and the highest population of religion is Hinduism. Hindus believe in reincarnation. That after you're dead, you're going to come back like a hog, a dog, a frog, a log, or a piece of corn. But the Bible says, and as it is appointed a man once to die, and after death the... So when you stand in front of God and you give an account for your life, what's going to happen? When your life is done, it's going to be gone. It's just like a flash. It will not last at all. And you've got to make... It's like a... Do you know what I'm talking about? It's your life is like a cricket game. I like to play 20-20 cricket. But I know there's only 120 balls coming across that wicket. Are you with me? You've got 120 decisions to make in life. In your life, you only have so many decisions. The average person makes 15,000 decisions a day. Most of those are decisions of character. Whether to be honest, whether to be doubtful, whether to have integrity, those are choices we make in our life. And here is my point. You only have so many, and when you make a mistake in one, it affects the next one. And the damaging thing about bitterness, it defiles the inward man. I went to school with a young man, very bright. And matter of fact, when he graduated, they hired him at the school, at the Bible college. And he worked there for a while, and then he went away, got a job at his home church, and he was working there for a while, and they had to correct him over something he did. And he got angry. He got bitter. Now, all bitterness is bitterness against who? God. And Satan will put someone in your path for you to get bitter at. And here's the terrible thing. If you're bitter at somebody, I don't want you in my church. Because what's going to happen, it's only, on average, 18 months until you're bitter at me. Because what we do is we transfer our bitterness. Let's just say Brad was married. No more fire, okay? Brad is married. His wife left him. He's bitter at his wife. You watch a bitter person come into God's house or come into a work environment, they transfer that bitterness to the pastor, to the next authority in their life. If they get bitter at a next pastor and they leave that church and they come to your church, here's what they're bringing. They're bringing poison. That's why a pastor, he's watching for that. He meets him at the door and says, hit the road, Jack. Because don't defile the church. Go sort out your business, and then if God wants you here, he'll bring you here. Because one bad apple can spoil the whole. You ever watch a young person and they chose the wrong friends? What do mom and dad say? Be careful. Watch out. You have the wrong. Your friends will carry you, but they'll never. Birds of a feather. Why is that? Because my point is this. Bitter people meet bitter people. And you know where they meet? On Facebook. And bitter people continue to make bitter people more bitter. That man got corrected. He got angry at his pastor. He transferred his bitterness from his pastor to everybody around him, including his spouse. He showed up at a house where I was at a period of time, and he looked like he had just come out of the bush. Here he was, an assistant pastor, and now he's got a big beard. So I wanted to say, Wapnin Ras. But instead, I'm just telling you, he looked like his eyes had changed. Police arrested him sometime later, just a few weeks later. And they arrested him because he called him. And he said, my wife is missing. They organized search parties all over the place. People hunting up and down the woods and the bush and through the farmland looking for his wife. Long story short, finally he signed a plea deal. He took the police where his wife's body was. Right now, he's in prison. You know where it came from? Bitterness. I could tell you stories till our time is up tonight. I'm thinking right now, I got a phone call one day in Austin, Texas. and a young man from a large Bible college in California called and said, listen, my brother is there in your town, and he's gotten away from God. Would you go visit him? I said, absolutely. I remember went and visited him, and he came to church. When I knocked on the door, he was lying there with his girlfriend, and he was covered with tattoos. See, when you get away from God, you turn your back on him. You grab a hold of the world. Piercings and tattoos, and his ears had big holes in them. I invited him to church, and he said, no, that's for my brother and my mom. That's not for me. Long story short, I don't know why. I was preaching that Sunday. The pastor was out of town, and he showed up. I was preaching that Sunday on the prodigal son. Are you listening? There's no accidents with God. He sat back there in the back row of church as I preached. I didn't know he was going to be there. He was making jokes with his girlfriend. And he was just joking around for the whole service. Invitation was given. I turned it over to someone else. I went to the back and I talked to him. And then I offered to take him out to lunch. He said, no, not for me. I remember I went back to his apartment, tried to meet him. He wasn't there. I went back again and again, and he moved out. I was preaching in Omaha, Nebraska, in a school there, about 2 years ago on my way to Trinidad. And I was looking through a magazine, the pastor's study, from a Bible college out in California, and had a student profile of this young man. And I was shocked to see his picture. Last time I saw him was in Austin, Texas, way on the world. Then it told his testimony how he had gone out back to California and heard the gospel preached and got saved. And it said, anybody you know, this man knows he truly got saved. And he said he was a junior in Bible college, and he wanted to now reach the youth of America. That was encouraging. I spent 4 years in Trinidad in 2005. I went to a large conference in North Carolina. It's called the Sword of the Lord Conference. And I went up to the display of that Bible college, and there he was standing there. That warms my heart, doesn't it? What God's grace can do. Change a life. And man, it was a blessing. We talked, and he said, come out to California. And I said, come down to Trinidad. And he said, okay, we'll meet halfway for barbecue in Texas. We had good fellowship, and he graduated and worked for the pastor there and helped him write his books and was on staff. But one day he got corrected. One day he got corrected. He resigned. Quit. 4 children. When it was all said and done, a few months later, he took a gun and he blew the brains out of his best friend. See, my friend, when you get bitter, you destroy yourself. Can I give you a couple thoughts? Thought number one is this. First of all, bitterness is self-destructive. See, bitterness first destroys the vessel that contains it. Years ago, they had a TV program about these comedy guys. They were little clowns, and they were called Amos and Andy. And the people with gray hair, or the people with no hair, they may remember them. But Amos and Andy were just two clowns. And Amos used to go, and he would hit the chest of Andy. One day, Andy came into work, and his chest was puffed out so. And they said, what's wrong with you? He said, I've got a bomb under my shirt. Why do you have a bomb under your shirt? Because every time he hits me, I get mad. He's going to hit me today. I'm going to blow him up. You know what bitterness does? First destroys you. My phone rang one day. And this boy calls and he says, Pastor, I'm gonna dead. I said, when? He said, maybe today. I said, why are you gonna kill yourself? He said, because she left me. I said, wrong response. She leaves, rejoice. You don't commit suicide, you shout hallelujah. You're happy she left now instead of later. Amen? And he said, no, I'm gonna dead. I said, so if you kill yourself, what are you going to do then? I said, this is the way to solve the problem. She left you for a boy. Now you dead, and she's with a boy who got hurt. It's stupid. And I look at that and I say, because you know what bitterness does? A bitter person has, and this is a point I'm going to skip, but a bitter person has no discernment. You watch a person get bitter in church, they have no spiritual discernment. They say stupidness. That no spiritual person would ever talk or do. Bitterness first destroys the vessel. It's destructive. And then number two, bitterness is debilitating. Because you know what happens? You know what we do? Has anybody here ever been bitter? Anybody here been bitter once or twice? Okay. Well, I feel like I'm with family. I got bitter. Matter of fact, I was 18 years old. And I didn't know I was bitter. I didn't want to admit I was bitter. I didn't even think about it. And in one day, my engine in my car blew up. My boss at my job, well, he blew up too. Told me he didn't need me anymore. How could you not need me? I was fired. And then I'm walking down the hallway. My girlfriend looks at me and says, "We done." In 2018, they just send a text, "Done." D-U-N. Now hold it. That's a bad day. I'm 18 years old. All of this happened in the space of a couple hours. Now I could blame my boss. I could blame the car. It was a cheap one. I could. It's 18. That's all you need is a cheap one. I could blame my girlfriend. I could blame. But you know what? Can I tell you what happened? I went to my dorm room. I got on my knees. And the truth was, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, not my brother, not my sister, but it's, that's right. And you know what I started doing? I started getting right with God. And for the next week, I spent my time praying and in my Bible and fasting. And here's what I did. I made a vow to God, I'll never get bitter again. And I'll just tell you, that's never happened. I've chosen to forgive. And here, I'm just telling you, people do bad things to your life. Get over it. Because if you don't get over it, it'll destroy you. It first destroys the vessel that contains it. It's self-destructive. And then it's debilitating. It destroys your effectiveness. You can't function. You say, why is that? Because literally the person you hate is the person you're connected to. You can't get away from them. You can't get victory. You ever been angry before? You don't have to confess everything. I just was asking a question. You ever been bitter before? It destroys you. Well, miss, what's your name? Come here quickly. Quickly, come on up here if you would. Would you give her a big finger clap? Isn't it good to have that volunteer? Come on now. There we go. Let's just pretend that she is getting angry at somebody. Have you ever gotten angry before?
Yes.
Yes, sir. You got angry. Let's just pretend it's that girl right over there. Can you come here quickly? All right, come down here quickly. Now, what's your name?
India.
Say it in English. Is this your friend?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So.
Let's just say her friend does you wrong. How many of you guys had a friend did you wrong? We all have. Okay? When you get bitter, and bitterness comes because lack of forgiveness. When you get bitter, here's what happens, okay? This is exactly what takes place in our life. You literally attach yourself to the person that you don't like. You can't go forward if you're living in the past. It's like climbing a cliff. You can't go up if you're still holding on to something behind you. You've got to get rid of it. You try and go through life, and you know what happens? The very person you don't like, you carry with you. You want to get away from them. Every time you pray, they're on your mind. Turn. turning on the rotisserie of your mind. I hate she, I hate she, I hate she, I hate she. As soon as I see she at church, I'm going to tell she how I feel because I'm going to hurt she. Don't raise your hand, but how many times have you laid there with your head right there on that pillow and turning? I know exactly how I'm going to hit she when she comes around the corner. Bitterness first destroys the vessel that contains it. It's self-destructive. It's debilitating. You can't function. It cannot help you. Now, what happens when someone gets bitter at a youth group? How many are youth here? You're youth. There's a couple of youth. How many are young at heart? Four people. Is this a geriatric Baptist church? What is the name of this church again? Hold. Now, here's what happened. When you get bitter at a youth group, are you busy? Good. Come up here if you would. We got another volunteer. Isn't it a blessing? Isn't this just incredible? There's volunteers everywhere in this church. Here. We keep on locking people up here. She's like willing. Here. I got all the handcuffs you need. Now, here's what happens. When you get bitter at a youth group, or listen, you get bitter at a whole church, here's our problem. Anywhere you go, they go with you. The very people you're upset about, that you choose to not forgive, you take them to work with you, you take them to school with you. Oh yeah, they may not be attached to your arm, but they're attached in your mind. That's why he says you defile many. And everywhere you're going, they're going with you. I wonder tonight how many people have got a string behind them. Oh, by the way, I have seen young ladies get bitter at their father. And do you know what they do? When they're bitter at their father, they choose a boyfriend who's just like their... You know why? Because they are still connected to the very person they're angry at. And then they wonder why. Why did I pick such a stupid boy? Oh, by the way, the next boy you pick will be the same way. And the next boy will be the same way. Because the problem is... bitterness. And until you get right with your father, you're not going to get right in the future. You'll have problem after problem after problem after problem. I'll just tell you right now, when I see a bitter person, I put on my track shoes. And I run downhill like I'm being chased by a bear. Now that may not mean anything to you, but I've been chased by a bear. I mean, I grew up in the bush in Alaska. More than one time have I run from bear. You know what we think? We think that we're going to be exception. We won't get bitterness. We won't get bitter. Hold that for me. Can you hold that? Hold that up. You're going to be a human microphone. We think we're not going to be bitter. But here's what happens. A bitter person tries to act and pretend like they're good. But sometimes from out of nowhere comes bitterness. Just when they think they're good, suddenly they trip. You ever hear someone say, how'd she move so? What's wrong with she? Just so? She behaving. You know what it is? She got bitterness that's hidden. And God wants you to take that bitterness and not defile the brethren, but take it and confess it to God and make sure it doesn't come back. Yes, amen. Yes. He's a great mic holder. It's like a boss. Can I tell you something? A bitterness is something that takes our life and destroys it. Can you ladies scoot over there? I need you guys to get some help. Take your Bibles quickly. They're on vacation. Take your Bibles quickly, if you would, to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. I'm checking the time right now. And I promise you, I have ignored every time I checked it. Luke chapter 17. Now, Jesus is dealing with a scenario. His disciples are looking at him, and he's explaining how to get free from this. The terminology is not used, but here's what he says in verse number 1 of chapter 17. Then he said unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offense will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast in the sea than he should offend one of these. Now he's what saying? Listen, this is life. You will have chance to get offended. Everybody is going to get offended. He said, watch out, don't offend one of these. He continues on. Take heed to yourself, verse number 3. If thy brethren trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against them 7 times a day, and 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And he just said something that is not part of my culture. Anybody here grow up in a small village? Anybody? You know, what I like about a small village is if you ever forget anything about yourself, just ask the neighbor. Because they have a PhD in studying your business. You know what I'm saying? And there's always someone you don't like. Me and she, we don't move together good. You know, let me just tell you about she. When I was 19, let me just tell you. And we all have history. Hold it. I don't know how your culture is, but my culture doesn't understand what just took place. And the disciples' culture didn't either. Because look at the response. He just told them forgive 7 times in a day. Another portion of scriptures, he says 7 times 70. Now look what they responded. Look how these spiritual people, the founders of the church, look what took place. You see what he said? Verse number 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, what's the next 3 words? They said, we heard what you just said, but it doesn't make any sense. You told us to forgive more than one time? Are you serious? You know how you get over bitterness? You get over bitterness by forgiving. You say, how do I forgive? Here's how you forgive. You forgive by faith. You forgive someone when Satan has convinced you that it won't do any good. God said to forgive it. And if you forgive the fault and the offense, here's what he says. He says he'll give you victory. He'll set you free. You've got to forgive by faith. You're not going to understand it. It's not going to make sense to you. But ladies and gentlemen, you've got to move past what is sense to you. What does he say in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thy, and lean not unto thine own. In all thy ways acknowledge, and he shall direct thy path. Did not he say just trust him? What's the hardest thing about trusting God? What's the hardest thing about trusting God? Sir, what's the hardest thing about trusting God? Sir, what's the hardest thing about trusting God? The hardest thing about trusting God is learning how to distrust yourself. Remember what he said? Lean not unto thine own understanding. Because you know what he continues to say? Be not wise in thine own. Our problem is we think we know, and what keeps us back from growing in faith is, boy, you know who I have a PhD. I can't even spell PhD. But people say, you know how good I did? I wrote 11 subjects. You know how bright I am? Hang on. The brighter you are, the more you trust yourself. And you can't trust yourself. You've got to only trust. After you get saved, you've got to learn how to unlearn what you've learned and learn what God wants you to learn. After you get saved, you've got to unlearn your fears and learn to walk by faith. Miss, are you busy? You looked busy. I didn't want to interrupt you. Can you help me for a second? Isn't this incredible? People everywhere. I'm coming over to these ladies next because they're falling asleep. Come quickly. Come quickly. I only have so much time. Can you stand right here, please? Can you hold this microphone? Now, this is not difficult. It's very simple. I have in my pocket a couple things here. This, what color is that? Okay. And I got another one over here. What color is that? Okay. Now, I want you to think with me. Okay? Just, they're looking at you. Which one is bigger, the blue one or the pink one? The blue one's bigger. Okay, now, don't tell her the secret. I'm going to put it behind my back. I bring it back. Which one now is bigger, the pink one or the blue one?
Pink.
Okay, don't move. I'm going to put it behind her back. Okay, here we go. Which one's bigger now?
Blue.
Blue. Okay, now don't look. I'm going to switch it right there. Which one's bigger?
Pink.
Pink. Now which one's bigger?
Blue.
Behind my leg, which one's bigger? You know what bothers me about her? She believes what she sees. Because, you know, they're the same exact size. Are you a woman? She changed her mind 11 times. That was a joke. But when I put it so, which one looks bigger? When I put it so, which one looks bigger? It's called an optical illusion. I can't trust my eyes. If I only obey God when I understand... Where are you going? If I only obey God when I understand God, I will not grow in faith. Because we want to fit God in our small mind. We want God to fit right here. And ladies and gentlemen, His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And His ways are higher than my ways. And the truth is, God's going to let you go through some problems. God's going to let you have an imperfect father, an imperfect mother, an imperfect boss, imperfect friends, imperfect pastor to teach you not to trust people, to trust Him. And He's going to let you get your confidence off of man and back on Him. And if you don't respond biblically, you will get bitter. And I'm talking about good pastors and good missionaries and good Christians defiled by bitterness. And I've seen them. I've preached in over 700 churches. I'm here to tell you, you can walk into a church and you can smell it. You can look out and preach and you can see it. You know what they have? This look. Go ahead, pastor. Try your best. Give it your best shot. See if you're going to be a blessing. Hey, partner, you couldn't find a blessing with a search warrant. Now, here's what he says. Thank you very much. Here's what he says. Come on. She's no longer incarcerated. She's been set free. Isn't that a blessing? Now, this doesn't happen. God wants you emancipated from bitterness. He came to set us free. And it doesn't matter if it's your friend. Doesn't matter if it's your enemy. God wants to teach you a lesson. Getting free is not something you can do on your own. It takes God's plan. When you have a spiritual problem, you need spiritual solutions. You know what he says? Here it is. Ephesians chapter 4. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath. You say, well, pastor, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how they did it. You don't know how wrong it was. I don't need to. You say, God doesn't know my pain. God doesn't know my problem. God went through it. He was brutalized. He was murdered. He went through 7 illegal trials. And he said, not my will, but thine be done. Because here's what most problems come into our life to do. They come into our life so God can change our heart. He's letting difficulties. Anybody can love people that love them. But our Christianity is never brought to fruition when we hang out with people we love. It's brought to fruition by how we treat the most unlovable. The test of our leadership is how we treat the least around us. The test of our leadership is how we treat those that can do nothing for us. The test of our Christianity is to find the person we struggle the hardest with and make them your friend. Oh, it starts with forgiveness and it's followed by prayer. You pray for the person that you are disliking and God's going to give you victory. You ever try to talk about someone you're praying for? You ever try and gossip about someone you're praying for? The Holy Spirit knows how to take it one hand and give you a two cuff and a slap. Say you're praying for that person, shut your face. Well, it's in the Greek if you want to study the Greek. But you pray for someone you don't like it, God will change your heart. Now here's where it is. The battle's right here. And here's what the Bible says. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity. How much? Every thought. Every time Satan brings up what someone did to you, remind Satan you forgave them. Because forgiveness is an act and a process. Now, you know where most Christians find themselves? They find themselves halfway. They'll say, oh, I feel like I forgave them, but I just can't look at them. Here's what you do. You go to someone who can help you. Thank you. You can be seated. Did a great job. Thank you. No, not you. I need you. Come up here. You can be seated. Thank you very much. You go to somebody who can help you. Now, how old are you?
22.
22. Okay. Pastor, she's bright. She works here, right? Okay. So come stand over here if you would. I got one more issue to deal with. I have got two horseshoes, correct? And a ring. Now, what's your name?
Shaquilla.
Shaquilla, I need you to take the ring off the horseshoes. Can you do that for me, please, really quickly? No, quicker, Shaquilla. So when a person is in bitterness, here's what they think. The only solution to my problem is to hurt the person who hurt me. That's what they're convinced. And we feel like, work with me, okay? Look, we got a horseshoe and a horseshoe and a ring. Take the ring off the horseshoes if you would. Take it off, please. So we think the only solution, the only way this problem is going to get fixed is if you deal with them. That's how we think the problem is. There's no other way to fix this problem. And it goes around and around and around in our mind. Ladies and gentlemen, we forget there's a God. We got a problem. Work with me, girl. Look at, hang on, hold that. Two horseshoes and a ring. Just take the ring off the horseshoes. When a person gets bitter, Pastor, this is the truth. Most of the time, a bitter person does not get victory on their own. Just hold that. You just think about it. Don't do anything. Take your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to look at these verses because this is where bitter people end up. Can I tell you a story? Years ago, in my church in Trinidad, an assistant pastor caused corruption, was charged, attacked me, my family, wrote letters to the government, immigration knocked on my door. Said, you got 48 hours to leave the country. I discovered the people you help the most will try and hurt you the most. Yeah. Over and over, he wanted finances. He said either get it for me, give me the church, or I'm going to get you kicked out. You know what I know? I know God put me where I am. Long story short, God worked miracle after miracle. Don't ever give up. Never, never give up. Say it with me.
Never,
okay. Now hang on. We went through a trial. Our church went through a problem, a difficulty, a satanic attack. That man had to be brought into church discipline. Every lie you could think of was told. Now listen closely. It wasn't until I turned to God and I thank God for the problem was I set free.
Yeah.
It didn't happen overnight. I could look. Never, never give up. Take the T out of can't. She's been practicing her spelling. Listen, God changed my life. God wanted me to go through the trial to work inside of me. Have you found 2 Timothy chapter 2? Let me see it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at the last two verses. It says, now this is talking to the pastor. He says, verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, be patient. Now listen to what it says, verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that, what's the next two words? Oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance through the acknowledging of truth, that they may recover themselves under the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at will. When a person gets bitter, they become part of Satan's arsenal of destruction. Satan at any time can take a bitter person to use and cause any kind of destruction he wants anytime. They're in captive by Satan. And it requires repentance. And most people never get free from bitterness on their own. They need some help. And there's an answer to every problem. You need to go to someone who can solve your problem. When you have a problem, God gave you a pastor. It's a gift to the church. And he's the coach and you're the team. And he's there to help you. When you have a problem or a question, say, Pastor, I need some help. That's the place to go. When you have a problem, where do you take your problem to? Someone who can help you solve the problem. Amen. When you have a problem, you take your problem to?
Talk to me. Someone who can help you.
When you have a problem, you take your problem to someone who can? Say it again. When you have a problem, give your problem to someone who can help you solve? Thank you. Where are you going?
Over here, I need that.
Watch closely. This is not a trick. Okay, this is very simple. All you do is take that off of there. See, this is not complicated at all. I'll do it slow because there's some slow people here. Close your mouth, you look more intelligent. Watch closely. I'm gonna do it slow. Are you watching? Look it. Okay, see how simple it is? Now, just a minute, you said it was impossible. There's problems that we'll face in our life, and there's problems you've gone through that when you were going through them, you said they were impossible. God fixed them. And every problem that comes in your life, God's got a solution for it. And I'm not a good teacher if I haven't helped her overcome her problem. Work with me. Right? So guess what? I want to teach her how to solve her problem. And you have kids. You become a good parent when you help them solve your problem. Would you bow your head? Would you close your eyes for a moment? I want to ask you to look down inside of your life. Only you know your life. Only you know your life.